from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is The Good Atheist.
Welcome to The Good Atheist for this first week of March 2024. No justice for young woman stabbed by father. If I were to tell you that a young woman was stabbed for dating someone outside of their religion, do I even need to specify what faith it was? We all know that Islam has a severe violence problem, and it's only getting worse. In the UK, honor killings have increased by a staggering 81%, but even this figure is estimated to be a gross underestimation, as victims are either unlikely to come forward or sometimes just disappear. Australia is now reporting that it too is seeing the practice on its home soil. In November of last year, a young woman in Adelaide was attacked by her own family. She had begun dating a young Christian man, and this outraged her pea-brained father. It wasn't just him that was angry. Her entire family participated in the barbaric ritual. During Thursday's sentencing submissions, prosecutors told the court that family members worked together to track down the woman, 21, and help hold her down as her father stabbed her with a large kitchen knife at Sefton Plaza Shopping Center in November 2021. The woman suffered a perforated kidney, lacerated liver, and significant internal bleeding and was bundled into the back of a car after the attack occurred. The whole thing played out like a scene from Scarface, leaving the young woman on the brink of death. Her family had originally been charged with attempted murder, but for whatever reason, the prosecutors decided to lower the charges to aggravated charge of causing serious harm, which carries a maximum sentence of 25 years. Her mother, who held her down while she bled in the shower, was given the lesser charge of unaggravated charge of causing harm with intent, which has a maximum sentence of 7 years. And while I know it's always important for any criminal to get a good defense, I can't help but shake my head in disbelief at his lawyer's defense strategy. His daughter was with a man who he did not know, and he also had concern that the man might have not had his daughter's best interest in mind, Mr. Weir said. It was his intention to remove her from that situation and bring her home. In what? A body bag? The father was essentially given a slap on the wrist, all things considered. What kind of message are we sending to other fundies who think they are above the law? Honor killings are on the rise, and why wouldn't there be when the perpetrators face such pathetic sentences? The girl will be physically and mentally traumatized for the rest of her life, all because these people put their faiths above their families. It's distasteful, disgusting, and a bunch of other D-words I don't want to go into right now. Kenyan pastor pleads not guilty for death of 400 people. Africa has become the Wild West of religion. Every other day there's a tragedy happening on the continent, all because of a toxic mixture of traditional beliefs and Abrahamic faiths. When Pastor Paul Nathenge McKenzie and 29 of his other accomplices were arrested in connection with the death of over 400 of his followers, 191 of them being children, they seemed unusually calm and cool, all things considered. His ministry, the Good News International, had told their followers that the end of times were just around the corner, and that only through starvation could they meet the bearded hippie. When these followers inevitably died from the lack of food, they were buried in mass graves and simply forgotten about. McKenzie was a taxi driver before becoming a preacher. He quickly gained a following with his fiery sermons and with his uncanny ability to predict events before they would happen, no doubt a result of simply reading the newspaper. His brainwashed followers were so convinced that he had special powers that when he told them to stop eating, they did as he ordered, even as they were dying in the hospital. Several emaciated children escaped from the forest, and locals alerted the authorities. Police found many followers close to death, and took those still alive to nearby hospitals, where medical staff tried to feed the group. Many refused food, however, and as the situation grew more dire, the director of public prosecution charged almost 65 people with attempted suicide for refusing to eat. That's the level of control that someone can have over others, thanks to the submissive nature of believers. Now the survivors of this cult have the difficult task of being deprogrammed. There's bound to be more tragedy before this thing is all over. Aspiring priest caught with disturbing child porn. When atheists say that the Catholic Church attracts pedophiles, we aren't just making a crass joke. The way the Church has shielded its members from prosecution, the effort it puts into lobbying governments to lower the statutes of limitation on sex crime, and the amount of money they give away to keep mouths shut sends a clear message that if you're attracted to innocent children, you should join their ranks. It seems as though Brodwick Witt got the message. He was studying to become a priest until he was eventually arrested after the police were tipped off that he possessed a bunch of really disturbing child pornography, including images of victims as young as 6 years old. The Archdiocese of Cincinnati released this rather amusing statement. The seminary of the Archdiocese of Cincinnati have strict policies against and take significant precautions to prevent anyone from possessing or accessing materials of this type, regardless of whether they are a student, faculty, or staff. Discovery of such material will result in immediate termination or dismissal and notification of law enforcement, Reverend Anthony R. Brausch, rector, said in a letter to the seminary community. Oh, they're finally notifying law enforcement now. Well, that's a pretty big departure from their regular mode of operation. You may recall that former Pope Benedict had issued a memo during his tenure as the head of the Inquisition, renamed a Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, as it seems that centuries of bloodshed had somewhat tainted the name. It specified that church leaders were to keep any information of abuse secret, and authorities were not to be contacted without approval from higher-ups, which they never would. I guess when you haven't yet joined the club, they take a bit of a different approach to dealing with child predators. That means we just have to catch them before they can benefit from the protection of a trillion-dollar organization. Good to know. Shootout at the Olsteen Corral. If you're familiar with prosperity gospel, then you know who Joel Olsteen is. With a net worth of over $50 million, Olsteen has used religion like a piggy bank, enriching himself by promising that large donations to his church, or seating, as they like to call it, would financially bless those stupid enough to give him money. Now, instead of being just a con artist, Olsteen has joined the ranks of churches that have experienced serious gun violence during their services. The details are still a little fuzzy, but we do know that around 1:50 p.m., a middle-aged woman with a 5-year-old child began opening fire in the church just as the Spanish translation of their sales pitch was about to begin. The woman was pronounced dead at the scene. Estimated to be between 30 and 35, she was not immediately identified by authorities. Finner said that the woman had threatened she also had a bomb, but authorities searching her backpack and vehicles had been unable to locate any explosives. The child was also hit with gunfire, though it's not clear if it was the result of the shootout with police. He's still in critical condition. Thankfully, there were only a few injured people. Had the woman showed up a little earlier, when there was a full house of over 45,000 worshippers, things could have been a lot worse. All we can do at this point is speculate about what happened. Considering the predatory nature of the church, I'm willing to bet that perhaps this woman had a financial bone to pick with Olsteen and his church. We'll need the investigation to be completed to know for sure. With the woman now dead, it may forever be a mystery. Yemeni Houthis to stone 9 gay men in public. If you haven't been following international news lately, and who could blame you, you might have missed out on the Houthis' rebellion in Yemen, and the horrible consequences of having Muslim fundamentalists running around unchecked in your country. The Houthi rebel were funded by Iran, who use these proxy fighters to cause chaos, and so far, their plan is working like a charm. The religious group claims to care about the human rights issue in Palestine, but like most fundamentalist organizations, they simply use the chaos and sympathy as a recruitment tactic, and nothing more. As they gain more and more territory, they have begun to issue religious rulings to anyone they deem an enemy of Islam. This, unfortunately, includes people who have same-sex attraction. They've been busy sentencing anyone they suspect of homosexuality to prison, with some offenders being sentenced to death by stoning. So far, over a dozen men have been condemned to die via the barbaric practice. If you think that none of this affects you, consider that their constant attacks on U.S. ship is moving us ever closer to a conflict that could engulf the whole world. Add to the fact that the Houthis are threatening to destroy critical internet infrastructure, and there could be some pretty serious consequences as a result. Just a nice daily reminder of how much religion ruins everything. You're welcome. He gets us. Super Bowl ad is dumb. Seems even a lot of Christians aren't actually that enthusiastic about the He Gets Us religious ad that played during the Super Bowl. A few of them hated it so much, in fact, they called it demonic. Part of the reason has to do with white evangelicals deciding that their main guy is a bit of a pussy. They like a god of revenge, or smiting and casting people into the fiery pits of hell. This foot-washing hippie isn't at all like the guy they picture in their minds. Political huckster Matt Walsh also didn't approve of this ad. He claims it did more harm than good, because it didn't have the correct messaging that he would have liked. No mention of submission, of telling people they're going to hell, or attacking whatever minority they currently dislike. No, these commercials were just a bunch of AI images of people getting their feet washed to the sound of In Excess's Never Tear Us Apart, which is an odd bit of messaging for a religion that places faith over family. At the end, the ad declares that Jesus didn't preach hate, even though he most certainly did, especially to people rejecting his teachings. You want some examples? No problem. Matthew 10:34. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Luke 12:51. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I have come to divide people against each other. I bet guys like Walsh would have preferred these quotes from the Bible than the patronizing tone of the commercial. Evangelicals especially seem to need a far more muscular Christianity, since Jesus' messaging isn't really resonating with today's modern believer. Many consider him a liberal for some of his sermons, such as Turn the Other Cheek. This religious group prefers the eye for an eye stuff of the Old Testament, not this pussy love thy neighbor shit. He Gets Us commercial might seem harmless to some, but it's obviously part of a psyops to trick Christians into thinking Jesus is fine with sin and apostasy. It's the opposite of what our world needs right now, Pastor Ryan Visconti wrote. I think the lesson to be learned here is that there's no form of Christianity that has universal appeal. It's why there are so many denominations. Do you hate gays? Well, we've got a church for you. Love gays? Hey, there's a church for that as well. Consistency? What the fuck is that? By the way, did anyone give a crap about the Scientology ad that also played? How an organization with fewer than 30,000 members can still be trying to recruit is just sad, isn't it? Arizona senator comes to defense of Satanism. Here's something I never thought I would say. A U.S. senator has come to the defense of Satanists, mainly due to the fact that Christian nationalists have decided this parody religion is their new bugbear. Democratic Senator Juan Mendez addressed the fact that their colleagues are trying to ban the religion, and this has outraged overly sensitive Christians who think the organization is evil. They are here today to confront the arbitrary, tyrannical authorities of religious prosecution that's scheduled for government committee later on today, he continued. We are graced with the presence of ministers and members of the Satanic Temple. Of the mission of the Satanic Temple is to encourage benevolence and empathy among all people, he added. They embrace practical common sense and justice. They are guided by their conscience to undertake noble pursuits that fulfill their religious values. I welcome them on the floor today. Mendez is referring to the recent attempts by Republican lawmakers to try and outlaw Satanism, which has been taking up the fight for separation of church and state. He's keenly aware of just how much these groups are enraging Republican lawmakers. It's awesome to watch. What's hilarious is that the article I have linked to states that Democratic senator was slammed on social media after welcoming the devil worshippers to the Capitol with open arms. If you actually bother to read the comment section of the Republican Twitter account, you might see a few religious dummies attacking Mendez. However, the vast majority of the replies point out that religious toleration means you have to accept faiths that you don't like. Atheists are used to this, but for Christians, anything less than a complete domination of the religious sphere is unacceptable. It's nice to know that not every government official is a religious nutbag. Gives you a little hope for the future. Minnesota youth pastor arrested for multiple assaults. You have to marvel at Christian hypocrisy. This is a faith that pertains to have family values, and yet every day one of their leaders gets arrested on sexual abuse scandals. TGA has been seriously considering making a bingo-style game to keep track of it all, since writing about it seems to be redundant at this point. In Minnesota, a former youth pastor named Laverne Zacharias was arrested when it came to light he had molested a number of students at a Christian high school in the mid-2000s. According to the criminal complaint obtained by the outlet, the alleged abuse took place between 2006 and 2009, when the victim was a student at El Shadi Christian School in Owatonna. It was affiliated with and overseen by Christian Family Church, where Zacharias served as a youth pastor. The woman told police that Zacharias would meet her in the basement of the school when she was sent to get milk for her classmates at lunchtime and during breaks. He allegedly touched her breast and genitals over her clothing at first, doing it at least once every day, the woman said. So this guy had a daily thirst for this kind of behavior. To call him an abuser would be an understatement. The guy was a straight-up predator. Imagine the terror and humiliation visited upon their victims on a daily basis. Who knows if they will ever be able to enjoy intimacy with their partner thanks to this man's traumatic behavior. What do family values mean to Christians anyways? I keep waiting to see what the hell they're talking about whenever one claims this vaunted virtue. Does it mean disowning your child because they have a sexual preference you dislike? Does it mean beating or abandoning your kids for questioning the teachings of a Bronze Age book? The lack of empathy and love displayed by the faithful can often be quite disturbing. Their claim to be the example to follow when it comes to family cohesion is a joke with no punchline. I have personally witnessed a religious family being torn apart because of a disagreement about their own internal doctrines. If you're looking for something to ensure family cohesion, Christianity certainly isn't something an objective person would prescribe. Christian nationalist think tank ready to pounce. If you're an American, hopefully you've come to the realization that your country is in serious trouble. The rise of Christian nationalism went from a growing concern to an outright menace to free society. If you think I'm being hyperbolic, then it means you haven't read this. The Manifesto for the Center for Renewing America, a think tank, I use the word loosely here, led by a man named Russell Vought. Vought had previously worked as Trump's Director of Office of Management and Budget when he was president, and he's preparing himself and others for the return of the big orange turd by creating a document outlining all the messed up crap he wants to implement on Trump's first day in office. Vought sees his organization's mission as renewing a consensus of America as a nation under God, per a statement on CRA's website, and reshaping the government's contract with the governed. Freedom of religion would remain a protected right, But Vaught and his ideological brethren would not shy from using their administration's positions to promote Christian doctrine and imbue public policy with it, according to both people familiar with the matter granted immunity to avoid retaliation. He makes clear further reference of human rights being defined by God, not man. First, I highly doubt that freedom of religion would remain a protected right. Currently, there are Christian lawmakers that have been trying to get Satanism removed from the list of recognized religions, and this is only the tip of the iceberg. These psychos will do just about anything to make sure their religion is top dog, and it wouldn't surprise me if other faiths were soon on the chopping block. Second, what I find terrifying is the renewed confidence of these assholes in thinking that the rest of us will just sit back and let this happen. They live in such a bubble that they think the majority of Americans feel the same way they do. It simply isn't the case. Most Christians are not dominionists, and considering how many different denominations they are, to treat them as one large group has never really worked. Although we may not like it, atheists have to ally themselves with those groups that are strongly opposed to this kind of sectarian agenda. Lastly, atheists have to get off their asses and start making moves themselves. Christians have been infiltrating governments for decades, and this strategy is starting to bear fruit. If we sit back and let other people get involved, then we shouldn't be surprised if we end up with targets on our backs. The stakes are high, and we can no longer bury our heads in the sand hoping that people will drop religion like a bad habit. Religious nationalists are annoying. If you thought only America was having problems with religious nutbags making normal life unpleasant, then you can take some comfort knowing that you're not the only one suffering. In India, Hindu nationalists are becoming emboldened, and like their Christian counterparts, they're always clutching at their pearls at anything that offends them, which is just about anything. In West Bengal, a local zoo is being harassed for daring to give one of their tigers a name that Hindu extremists do not like. Worse still, the zookeepers had the temerity to put this tiger in an enclave with a tiger with the name of a 16th century Muslim ruler named Akbar. And so there you have it. Religious people are dangerous babies who want the whole world to bow down to their temper tantrums. If that wasn't ridiculous enough, Akbar had been renamed after their original name had been criticized by other Hindu extremists. And now, to avoid harassment, the two big cats are being kept in separate enclaves. When is the world going to stop kowtowing to these idiots? I can't imagine anything more stupid than protesting the names of these majestic animals. I mean, what's next? Are Zoroastrians going to demand that the car company Mazda abandon their brand? Let's not put ideas in their head, shall we? Threesome-obsessed priest protected by Vatican. Those Christians sure do love their Trinity. Because they believe that their deity exists in three parts, this often means that anything that comes in threes is often considered to be divine, regardless of what it is. For example, when Father Marco Rupnik was trying to satisfy his sexual urges, he pressured his female colleagues into having a threesome with him because it would bring him closer to the Trinity. If he wasn't a creep who abused of his powers, you'd almost have to admire the set of brass balls to pretend there was anything sacred about this nasty little habit. He said that it would not grow spiritually if I did not meet his sexual needs. We had another nun have sex with us because he said it was like the Trinity, said Miss Brenchiani, referring to the Holy Trinity, a central tenet of Christianity. This isn't his first rodeo, either. Rupnik started his spiritual growth sessions back in the early 90s. Over 20 former nuns have come forward with claims of abuse, all of which would have surfaced sooner were it not for the fact that the Vatican was quick to cover things up. When he had used up all of his victims in his native Slovenia, he was whisked away to Rome, where he continued unabated for another 30 years. It helped that Rupnik is a talented artist, which is a rare commodity for a community that is rapidly shrinking. Why was this guy even a priest? With his bohemian tastes, he should have been making wacky art in a hippie commune somewhere in San Francisco, not the stuffy halls of St. Peter's Basilica. If you're into threesomes, there are plenty of places for you to go, but none of them have big, ugly crosses in the front. Just remember, kids, if your sexual preferences are a little outside the norm, just find like-minded people instead of illegally coercing them just to get your rocks off. Why does everything sexual always get all twisted up and fucked up when religion is involved? Alabama Supreme Court is now the American Taliban. If you haven't heard of the name Tom Parker, odds are you soon will. The Chief Justice is making news after declaring that embryos are children, in a landmark case that is bound to send shockwaves throughout the state, if not the country. It all began with a lawsuit. A couple that was using in vitro fertilization wanted to sue the clinic in Alabama for accidentally destroying a few of their frozen embryos. The Center for Reproductive Medicine, located in Mobile, Alabama, had an incident during the transfer of their embryos, and they were lost as a result. The couple, rather than move on with their lives, decided that they wanted to sue them for wrongful death. The case went all the way to the state Supreme Court, which ruled an overwhelming majority of 8-1 that these embryos were indeed children. The court, which sounds more like a branch of the Vatican, quoted the Bible multiple times, and the name God is invoked over a dozen times. Human life cannot be wrongfully destroyed without incurring the wrath of a holy God, he wrote in a concurring opinion that invoked the book of Genesis and the prophet Jeremiah, and quoted at length from the writings of 16th and 17th century theologians. Even before birth, he added, all human beings have the image of God, and their lives cannot be destroyed without effacing his glory. Parker further claims that all governments are created by God. This despite the fact that the Constitution he swore to uphold makes it abundantly clear that the government is to stay out of the business of mandating religion. He doesn't see it that way. He's part of a clandestine Christian movement called the Seven Mountains, which aims to inject their religious tyranny in all aspects of government. Their plan has been in motion for decades, and because everyone around them was asleep at the wheel, they've effectively turned the state into their version of a theocracy, complete with religiously mandated laws. As a consequence of this decision, fertility clinics across the state have suspended their services. This means that couples wishing to have assistance in having children are incapable of doing so until this insane mess is sorted. Considering how stacked with Christian nationalists the courts are, it's doubtful this will ever be repealed. Even Republican lawmakers seem confused about the decision. They claim to be pro-families, but had no idea that declaring a frozen clump of cells a human child would have terrifying consequences for IVF clinics. Since the Supreme Court decision was literally made to allow a couple to sue over a few of their embryos being destroyed, this means that it's doubtful that any medical organization would even dare operate in a state where they're always one mistake away from financial oblivion. This has spelled disaster for thousands of Alabamans struggling with fertility. Again and again, voters were sold a pack of lies, courtesy of religiously minded politicians that placed their faith above their duty to their fellow countrymen. Many of them entered politics not with a desire to help, but with the ambition of turning their country into an unrecognizable religious repressive place where freedom is a thing of the past and subjugation to their imaginary friend and his conflicting rulebook. It is time to weed out these religious elements and expose them for what they are, the American Taliban. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to support The Good Atheist, please consider our Patreon starting at $1 a month. Or you can also visit Amazon.com and buy Bible Stories by Jacob Fortan. Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.